Praise the Lord, church. Beautiful out there, isn't it? I want to thank God for the privilege of standing up here and ministering to you today. The Lord has given me a message. I pray it'll bless you. But I wanted to also just comment how this church has blessed me over the years, the times I've been here. You all are friendly. You have love for one another, as far as I know. At least in church you do. I don't know about, you know, the rest of the time, but you sure look good here. And I was talking to somebody in the back before service, 20 minutes before the service, and there was chatter. There was laughter. It was really good, you know, because I've been to some churches that's like real somber. We don't talk, you know, out of line. We don't laugh in church, you know. My goodness, laughter is good for you, and the Lord loves laughter. How many of you know heaven's going to be full of laughter, full of joy? So when you're doing that, you're just fulfilling, you know, what God really wants. So He wants a vibrant church. The Bible says, as you know, by this shall all men know that you love me if you have love for one another. And so you all have that. So keep it up, okay? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I believe that's a functioning church, okay? And even if you mess up, we all grab one another. We lift each other up. We bear one another's burdens and we don't judge people but by the grace of God, there go I, right? I want to give you a bit of good news since I was here last. I told you about the time that the Lord opened a great door of ministry to a homeless shelter and a treatment center up north where I live. And since I was here last, we had a service and we had an old-fashioned altar call and we had 17 people come forward and get saved. Now, I want you to hear this, okay, because the month before it was 16. So if my math is right, that's 33 souls in two services. Now, that's exciting to me. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. You know, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. We got 33 we're talking about, so we can have a little joy. And by the way, I hope you don't think that the spirit of brag came upon me, and I'm telling you this to get any glory for myself, because I am not. In fact, this is scriptural, because Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says they were having a great time up in Antioch, winning souls and doing miracles, and they went back to Jerusalem. And it says, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders. Now listen, and they declared all things that God had been doing with them. That's Bible. So it's okay to testify. And by the way, I enjoyed those testimonies and different things you've had today. But it's okay as long as you give glory to God, okay? Now you've heard me say this many times if you've been coming here. When anybody gives you a compliment, okay, if somebody says, man, you are a good singer, man, you're a good teacher, treat it like a hot potato. So that compliment comes at you like a hot potato, and you just go, Jesus is the reason I can do anything. Do not do this. Do not coddle it and go, well, you know, I have been trained in voice. I have a degree in theology. Don't do that. Give it to the Lord and say it's only because of Him that I can do anything. Amen? Amen? And the better, that's a humble spirit and it's a true spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, okay? So I want to minister today on, does the light of Christ shine through you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you mean. We need you, Lord. This is your church. You started the church. It's your church. I don't care what shingle is on it. It is yours. And we recognize that. And we want to be obedient unto the Spirit of God this morning. I pray that this word will fall on good ground and that everyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, will be blessed by it and follow through. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says together, amen. Now, the way the Lord gave me this message was, unfortunately, I have a family member that wasn't real close and not real distant, but, you know, a family member, and they began to speak bad things about me. They began to say evil things, actually, wrong things about me. It wasn't true, but they were making it out as I was really a bad person. And I got to thinking, and I prayed to the Lord, and He said, well, you're in good company. They did that to me, too, you know. They accused me of all kinds of stuff, right? And it's true. And so He told me when I prayed about it, He said, you love her, and you forgive her. And you know how hard that is sometimes? It's tough. So I did that, you know, and I in my prayer. And then I had to go visit her not long after that, the wife and I. And we go down there. I never said a word about it. I was friendly. I was cordial. I even give her advice. She had a problem inside her home, and I give her advice on how to fix that. And boy, you know, my flesh, I had to put that flesh down. My flesh was wanting to say, you got all kinds of stuff you could talk about her. You know for a fact she did that and this and this. And I'm like, get under me, flesh. Get down, flesh. And I just felt good that I obeyed the Lord. Well, when I got in the car, here's what the Lord spoke to me. And I heard it clear as day. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You let the light of Christ shine through you. Amen? Then this mission that I tell you about where these people got saved, before I got saved, I used to drive by that place and I'd say, they deserve to be there. They're a bunch of druggies. They messed up. Or I'd go by a jail and I'd say, they deserve to be in that place. I just said, write them off, you know. They deserve to be there. I had no compassion, no grace, no mercy, no nothing. It's like, hey, that's on them, man, not me. They did it. Well, now here I am, a Christian minister, and I'm going into these places with no judgment. I love these people now. I'm giving them the Word of God, and I'm bringing them to Jesus Christ. So the last time I did that, he reminded me in the car on the way home what I just said. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you let the light of Christ, my son, shine through you. And so this is how he gave me this message, okay? It's a very good message because it reminds us that we have no light of our own. In John 8 and 12, you can turn here if you'd like, or I can just quote it. It's just one verse. In St. John 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Now, first of all, how many of you know we have no light of our own? There's no light within us. Amen. We're like the moon, right? The moon has no light whatsoever. It simply reflects the sunlight. But I'm going to take it a step further today with Christianity. Jesus Christ's light is not just hitting my skin and bouncing off so you can see some light. Jesus Christ came into my heart and changed me. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I have the light of Christ within me. And the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that's what you and I are supposed to be doing. If you've got Christ in you, you got love in you. If you got love in you, you got some works in you too. And you can do a lot of good things for the world. They can see Jesus Christ in you. And that's the question. Does the light of Christ shine through you? Or are we hiding it? And we don't want that. So anybody in the sound of my voice, if we repent and we accept Jesus Christ, we become what Bible says, born again. And we're no longer walking in darkness, right? It's a beautiful thing. How many of you remember when you were delivered from darkness? Amen. Am I the only one that used to walk in darkness? I got news for you. Even if you grew up in the church and you looked like you was okay, but you weren't saved, you know, a lot of church kids aren't saved. You know that, right? They come to church because mom and dad drug them to church, and they're in church, but they're not saved. They're in darkness just as much as the most evil person you could ever think of. That's hard to understand. Because unless you know Jesus Christ, unless you're born again, that's the only thing to get you to heaven. I used to ask people, I'd say, what if you was to stand before the Lord right now and die, you know, you died and you stood before the Lord, what would you tell him gives you the right to go into his heaven? And of course, you know what they say. Well, I'm not that bad. I don't kill people. I don't rape women and this, that, and the other. I'm okay. You know, I'm just a good old boy. Well, how many of you know good old boys don't get you, being a good old boy and good old girl don't get you into heaven? The only thing to get you into heaven is the man on the middle cross who died for our sins, Jesus Christ, right? That's it. There's no other way. He made it clear as a bell. I am the way, not a way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen? Amen. That's it. Now, if that's narrow, that's hard to believe because, you know, there's a lot of religions in this world. But at the end of the day, I don't care whose name you put over those religions. If it ain't Jesus Christ, it's not the way. And people will be in for a rude awakening. And I'm sorry if that bursts a lot of people's bubble, but it's just the Bible. Jesus Christ is the only way, and he will remove you and take you out of darkness, you know. In fact, the Bible says that God has delivered us from this darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what you're in now. You're in the light. You're in the light now. You was in darkness. Now you're in the light. You have the light of Christ. You have Christ within you. You have love within you. It just needs to be shown forth right now. And in John, the first chapter, it says, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. So you have this stuff in you. And it says, the light shined into the darkness, but the darkness, King James language, the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, the darkness could not overcome the light. The light always overcomes the darkness. How many of you, any coal miners here? Any old coal miners? Anybody had coal miners in the family maybe? They say you can go way back in them coal mines and it's so dark you can't see nothing. I mean, it's dark wherever. You can go in your closet at home and it's dark, but this is a different kind of darkness. You can take a match, though, all the way back in there and strike that match, and that darkness will flee. The darkness can't pounce on that match and put it out. It can't do it. Why? Light dispels darkness. You are the light of the world. You have that light within you. When you go into this sick and dying world that's corrupted with sin like we've never seen, somebody said God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't judge America. You know, you're going to walk into that America with the light of Jesus Christ shining, and that darkness has to be recognized that you have the light. That darkness will dispel. The darkness cannot overcome you, by the way. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care how much evil's going on. You cannot be overtaken by that. Never forget it, okay? So Jesus alone is the exclusive source of salvation. Think about that. That's not popular today. Today, people want you to believe, as long as I believe, I believe. I always tell people, that's wonderful, but that's devil's faith. And they go, what are you talking about? How many of you know the scripture says that the devils even believe and tremble that there's a God? Just because you believe there's a God, that ain't no great faith, right? The devils believe that. That ain't nothing to be bragging about. Oh, I believe in God. Well, that's wonderful. The demons believe in God too. That ain't no great statement of faith. But the great statement of faith is, Lord, I believe you are God's Son, and I receive you into my life right now, and you become the Lord of my life. Glory to God. And then I can go forth into this sick and dying world, and I can reveal that he is the only way to God. And it's not popular because everybody wants to believe there's different ways. There's only one. And that's why they call it the straight and narrow. And that's why they look at you as narrow-minded sometimes, because you believe that way. That's okay. You're in good company. All those apostles, except the one that gave their life for the gospel, believed that same thing. And they preached that same thing. I tell you, church, the church is getting watered down. We got to stay between the lids of the book here, okay? Let's stay with the Bible. Amen? That's what I want. I want the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. That's it. So all you ministers and teachers, that's my advice to you. Stay with between the lids here, and let's not get off on a tangent. Now in John 12 and 46, almost the same thing, he says, Jesus, red letters, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You get a theme here? I'm the light, you're in darkness, you need me, and I'll bring you out of darkness, okay? So Jesus brought light and life to this dark, sinful world. And I don't know about you, but if you're ever asked to testify, and you go, well, I don't know, what is there anything new? You can always just testify that Jesus saved you from this world of darkness. Never, ever, ever. Think that I can't, they've heard me say that my whole life. Say it again, okay? And say it loud and proud, because God delivered you from darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. So when you believe in Christ and you're born again, you are blessed, okay? You're brought out of darkness into salvation, but it don't stop there. Everything begins to make sense. Amen? We know where we're going. We know why we're here. We know why God created. You know why God created you, right? For his good pleasure and for fellowship. And now you have a relationship. You know, in the end time, at the judgments, God's going to say to some people, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. See what I'm saying? It's a relationship. It's not about coming to the church and getting your name on the church roll and putting some money in the plate and singing some songs. No, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ that gets you into the kingdom of heaven. Period. So I hope we all are on the same page with that, right? We can't play games in the church. Church, we have to be real about this. And that's why we need to preach it hard and preach it well, with love, of course. You can't just preach on hell every Sunday and all that. You know that. We've got to have the whole... Paul considered him a full gospel preacher himself. He said, because I have not failed to declare all of the counsels of God unto you. He didn't shy away from it, and we know he talked on all kinds of different things, and that's a healthy church, which is another reason why Sunday school is good. It's got a curriculum. It makes you talk about things that, you know, some preachers, if they left it up to them, there'd be certain things they wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole because it's tough, you know. I understand that. It is. It's easier just to avoid it, right? But when you're on a curriculum, you got to cover it because this is what it's in the lesson, right? So that's one good thing about it. I taught adult Sunday school for many years, church, and I support the Sunday school very much. So anyway, now that Jesus Christ is in heaven and he's ascended to heaven, all right, we are the light. So in Matthew, the 5th chapter, if you want to turn there, and that's what's on the overhead, Matthew 5:16, but I want to start at verse 14. It says, Matthew 5:14, you, now just put your name in there, okay? You, all of Ewans out there. That's what you say down here, right, Ewans? Ewans. Ewans. I'll say it, this is my hillbilly Bible version. Ewans are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Church, do you see what I just read right there? We ain't supposed to be hidden, all right? We're supposed to let it shine. We're supposed to let it forth. People should not wonder if we're a Christian or not, okay? Where's that fellow do you mind if I use you? Stand up for us. You may as well. Everybody's seen it, all right? Now take a look at him. He don't mind. I know he's got a good sense of humor. Now, he stands out a little bit, wouldn't you say? Just a tad, okay? In other words, he can't hide that. He could have tried. He could have wore a ball cap or a ski mask or, you know, he could have tried something, but you can sit down. I don't want to make it anymore. Thank you. I think it looks cool. It's great. And he told me why he does that, so that's wonderful. But really, now I want you to think about Christianity. You know, we should be just like that right there. We stick out, okay? The Bible says we are a peculiar people. We're a special people, okay? Jesus said you're supposed to be like a city. So when you go in, don't try to hide your Christianity. Let it shine forth, okay? And here's the other verses on it. 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in their house. So what's the purpose of lighting? I got this candle, it's going to light up the room, but nope, I'm going to put it under a basket and we're back in darkness. What's the point of that? Nobody would do that. Don't do that. Same for Christianity. You have the answer, what people are looking for. You have the light of Jesus Christ. You have the answers, and you have to boldly go forth and let it shine. Don't ever, ever, ever be ashamed of that, okay? It says then, in verse 16, let your light, church, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we see that there's some good works to be done here. We see that that's part of what the light of Christ is, and it's a wonderful thing. By the way, this is a very powerful call to live an active, a visible life of faith, not just hiding in the corners, not just a Sunday Christian, but the other 6 days of the week. Let that light shine wherever you go, church, okay? So here's a question. When people see you, do they see the light of Jesus Christ in you? Or do they just say, well, there's Dan, he likes to fish, let's talk about fishing and hunting and all kinds of fun stuff and sports. And, you know, is that what they see when they see me? Is it all just that stuff? Or do they say, oh, here comes the preacher, here comes the holy roller, or here comes the Bible thumper? That's a compliment, church, because that means you're actually letting your light shine. You're not hiding it, okay? And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, you know. I've talked to so many Christians that are what they call quiet Christians, dignified Christians. You know, we keep it to ourselves, you know, we're reverent, you know, we don't go around making a show. Well, how in the world are you going to fulfill the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How are you going to do that being dignified and quiet? You got to open your mouth. You got to go amongst the sinners. You have to show them, even by actions, that you are a Christian. So when the crowd's doing all the sinful stuff, you go, no, I'm not going to participate. You don't even have to say why. They'll know there's something different about you. That is how you preach. You can preach through actions. That's what it says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right? And by the way,
This is how serious it is, church. Okay, I believe it's in Luke 12:9. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." How many of you want the Lord to be ashamed of you and deny you? I hope nobody's wanting that. But he says, if you're going to go in this world and be hush-hush about it and quiet, and actually, how many of you would agree that's a form of denial? When you're afraid to let your light shine, because guess what? Somebody's going to call you a name. Somebody's going to say, oh, look at the Bible thumper, or he believes that old ancient book, you know, or whatever. You know, we don't want that, right? We want to fit in. We want to be friendly with everybody, okay? Well, I got news for you. Here's what the Bible says about that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not of the Father, but it's of the world, and this world's going to pass away. That's an easy one, right? Don't fall in love with the world and the world system. You know why? The Bible says that Satan is the god, small g, god of this world. In other words, the world system. So why in the world would I want to deny God and line up with Satan's system? I want only God's system. I want to be on his side. So church, get out there and never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know why? He wasn't ashamed of you. He was naked on that cross for a whole world. He came down, humbled himself, left all the glories of heaven. And you want to talk about claustrophobia? He could have just showed up at 30 years old and walked out of the wilderness. He went into his mother's womb by the Holy Spirit through Mary. You talk about claustrophobia. Man, left all the glories of heaven to go into a womb for 9 months. My goodness, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Never forget it, church. And by the way, we don't draw any attention to ourselves. As I said, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We have no light of our own. So if you see a teacher, a preacher, or somebody, and all you hear is me, my, and what I've done, and this, that, and the other, I'm going to tell you right now, that is not the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. If you're a preacher, a teacher, if you're a witnesser, you will glorify Jesus Christ. In other words, you'll deflect. Like I said earlier, don't take that compliment. Give it to the Lord and say, it's only because of him that I can do anything. And if you do that, God will say to you what he said to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You let Jesus shine through. You understand what I'm saying here, okay? So, do you have the light of Christ shining through you? Now, this is another good verse that almost sounds like Matthew 5:16, but in the Old Testament, it's Proverbs 3:27. Proverbs 3:27. And I want you to think about this. It says in Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Folks, did you hear that? Don't withhold good from people. Again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Don't withhold good works. Don't withhold any good, okay? Now, on the surface, that appears like we are only supposed to do good to people that are worthy, like needy people, maybe poor people. How about the sick or the disadvantaged? But I got news for you, folks. As Christians, we are to love and bless everyone, even our enemies. Man, did you hear what I just said? You know how hard that is? That, my friends, is one of the most difficult things. Remember that story I told you in the beginning, how he gave me this message? You don't know how bad I wanted to rip into that family member and set the record straight and tell everybody, you know, nope, nope, nope. I had to love her. I had to forgive her. And I didn't want to do it, but I did it. You know, I'm just being honest with you. It's not always a piece of cake following these commands. You know that, right? It isn't. Because you got to sacrifice something. And then you look around at some lukewarm, carnal Christians who don't follow any of it, and you go, well, I'll just be like them, you know. No, you won't. You're going to be like Jesus said. I'll just ask you, how many of you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Man, I hope every hand in this place goes up. All right. Jesus said it. That's great. If you love me, though, you will keep my commandments. And you go, well, I thought we didn't have to keep commandments. We're under the new covenant now. We don't have to do all that law stuff anymore. Of course, by the way, we never had to. Is there any Jews here? Is there any actual Jewish people here? I know we've been grafted in. I know that. I understand that. But folks, Gentiles were never in the law. Now I'm just going to leave that one right there because that's another topic. All right? Folks, don't ever be ashamed of Christ. Let the light shine and you'll do well. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. That's Bible, okay? Now Jesus is our example. We're talking about not withholding good from to people that it's due, okay? Jesus did not withhold his love for sinners. Remember, he could have called down how many legions of angels, right? He said, nope, I'll do it, Lord. He didn't withhold good from them to whom it is due. And it was due for sinners because they couldn't help themselves. And God made a way. He made a plan for them, all right? And I love it. Let's all say it together, John 3:16. Help me out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the verse that gets forgotten is the next one, right? Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come down condemning. You know why? They were already condemned. And here's what the Bible says. This is the condemnation. That light, listen church, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the condemnation. They made a choice. I like my life. I like the darkness. I don't want that. So Jesus didn't have to condemn them. They're already condemned. But he made a way. So he did not withhold any good from sinners, all right? And that's what we need to do as well. I believe it was quoted in Sunday school, Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what I'm saying. You can't be a quiet, dignified person and be like Jesus. Jesus sought sinners. He went hunting them. He went looking for them. Remember Zacchaeus, right? Remember going and, in fact, that's what, remember I said, I'm among good company. They accused Jesus of all kinds of stuff. He'd go and eat with people and they'd say he's a wine bibber because they were drinking and stuff, or he thought they were participating in their sins, which he wasn't. He was falsely accused, and so were I, but he sought out people. So you can't be a quiet, dignified, Christian and seek lost people. How are you going to do that? You can't, if you're going to be dignified, and I would never be associated with some of that stuff over there. I got news for you. That's where the sinners are. They ain't here. There's a few maybe, you know, every once in a while, but overall we're saved in these churches. You got to go to them. So I encourage you, get over that and let your light so shine and think about people that are lost. And one day, by the way, this is serious stuff too. I think it's in Ezekiel. If I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you fail to warn the wicked of his wicked ways, all right, their blood will I require upon your hands. Now, we could have a theological debate what exactly that means, but I don't want no part of it, church. I don't want the blood of anybody's on my hands because I didn't go somewhere that I maybe would have been questionable to talk to a sinner, all right? No, sir. In fact, Paul said it this way. He said, near the end of his life, he said, I am pure from the blood of all men. What did he mean by that? What I just said. He says, I have not failed to declare the whole counsel of God to everybody, everywhere that I went, so that he could sleep at night knowing there wasn't people hanging out there that he could have witnessed to that he didn't, okay? You know, Jesus, it was said, he was a friend of sinners, all right? He's a friend of sinners. And that was actually meant to be not a compliment. It was supposed to be, look at him. He's over there eating with sinners, you know. Remember this one? If he only knew who that woman was that was washing his feet. Remember that? If he only knew, who was that? Look at that woman. I wouldn't even let her in my house. Missing it, totally missing it. Weren't we all sinners? Somebody preached to us. Somebody witnessed to us. Somebody, you know, maybe we were growing up being idiots and our parents had a lot of grace and compassion with us. All of these things, right? And now it's our turn, church. We have to do these things. So I'm praying for you. You pray for me. You know, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. And if God lives in you, that will be your heart too. So Paul said also one time, I have become all things to all men so that by some means some might be saved. Now, if you understand what that means is, Paul put himself out there. Paul ate with sinners. Paul got amongst them, okay? And he didn't, amen, he didn't participate in their sins, but he wanted to see people come to Christ. And he would do whatever he could do. And if you study his life, he put himself out there, all right? Now, I'm not saying you have to do exactly like Paul, okay? That was a unique person. But every single one of us in the sound of our voice should have a compassion for the lost, and we should be doing everything that we can, all right? Because it's very, very, very important that we do that. Listen what this says in 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Do not repay evil with evil. Two wrongs don't make a right, church. It never has, it never will. Whenever somebody comes against you, remember, they're not coming against you. They're coming against the Christ that's in you. They're coming against the light that's in you. That's all you have to remember. And know that Jesus Christ did that as well. He went through all these different things so that we could, you know, we are to follow his example in everything that we do. That's a fact. All right, anybody here on social media, Facebook? Yeah, we are. We are. Yeah, we are. How many of you know this stuff, all this stuff applies there as well? Somehow we got the idea that we can come here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, right? And everybody says, wow, what a wonderful Christian that person is. Then we get home all by ourselves in front of that laptop or ourselves, and we get on Facebook and we start ripping somebody to pieces. We say, you know, we say things that way we wouldn't say to their face, right? Folks, it applies even in Facebook world. Don't, you know, you start getting in. All you got to do is mention Republican or Democrat or Christian or not, and watch out, the sparks are going to fly one way or the other. And you're wanting to defend God, but you end up not loving them. You're actually not, you're hating them. You're just ripping into them, right? But somehow that's okay online. No, it's not. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can't get away with that kind of stuff. So we have to love our enemies, even on Facebook. Remember that. The next time there's the big argument and everybody's jumping in and you go, well, I got to say my 2 cents too. Watch how you say your 2 cents and make sure that it's pleasing to the Lord. Okay? Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. We have to be consistent, church. We really do. And I know that's not popular, but it is something we should do. So why do we do all these unnatural things? And I'm saying unnatural because it is not natural to your flesh to love your enemies. It's not. You know, when you read in the Bible, love your enemies, that is not natural to your flesh. You know, before I got saved, if you would have done something to me, I would have stayed up half the night planning how I was going to get you back. And I mean, I would have got you back in some way that would have been worse than what you did to me. I would have. I'm just telling you. Now, I go before the Lord and say, Lord, I pray for them. Just the opposite. Lord, help them. They're blinded by the God of this world. They're lost. Help them, Lord. Help me, Lord, to have compassion. Help me to show the light of Jesus Christ. You know, all this stuff. So that's one reason I know that I'm saved, because I can do that in private, not just in front of people to impress people, but in my prayer closet, just me and God, I'm talking like that now. And I mean it. So I'm not bragging on me. I'm just letting you know that's the answer. They're lost. They really are. They need the Lord. So yeah, I don't like what they do. And by the way, you don't have to become best friends with these people, right? You don't have to be chummy with them and hang out with them and all that. You ever heard the saying, we're supposed to love the sinner but hate the sin? You can hate sin. You can hate the way they behave, but you don't hate them. And by the way, this kind of stuff that I'm talking about, you do this because you love them, because they're created in the image and likeness of God, but they're lost. So in your prayer closet, remember, we're talking about don't withhold good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Some people won't even pray for their enemies in the prayer closet. And that shows you that you still have it in your heart, that you haven't released it. So in your prayer closet, you should be able to pray, God, help my enemy. Bless my enemy. Lord, help them to see the light. Things like that. That shows you you're concerned about their soul. You're concerned about their eternal state. And that's what we need to all get to, all right? It's really a hard thing to do in a way. I'll tell you how it gets easier. The more of Christ that you get, that gets in you, the more of His Spirit, the more of His Word, the easier it gets. That all the people who complain how hard it is, like I am, it's because they don't have enough of that other stuff in them. When you do, it becomes easy. And you can actually one day find yourself just like Jesus. What did He say? Father, forgive them. Man, can you believe us maybe doing that someday to our enemies where we can actually say, Father, bless them, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's when you know you're making progress, church, and I pray that you'll see this from this message today, okay? By the way, Christians are not doormats, okay? We don't have to take everything that comes down the pike, just so you know. I know the Bible says if they strike you on the one cheek, turn the other, right? We know that, and that's true, you know? But you can defend yourself. In fact, some people say Christians shouldn't have guns. They shouldn't be able to defend themselves. But how many of you know Jesus told His disciples to take a sword at one time? Why? For self-defense. Made sense. That's wise, you know. But some people say, well, it's the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. So they say if it's self-defense, that's still murder. No, that's not. Murder is cold-blooded killing somebody for no reason. Now, I will just tell you, all right, I'm a minister of the gospel, but if a bad guy or bad woman comes into my home with a gun and wants to take my life, my wife's life, or my dog's life, they better know the Lord, because I'm going to take them out. Now, I hope that don't offend you. I'm just telling you. You come to my house, I will defend my house. Now, again, this is only if they are truly a threat or shooting at us or whatever. You know, you can't just look at them and say, you look like a bad guy and shoot them. No. This is a true threat, and I'm talking about self-defense. Christians, you can defend yourself. So let's be wise about it. So all of you that want to do, is this state a constitutional carry state? You can carry without permit? Yeah. So is Ohio, okay? So any of you Christians that want to pack while you're preaching the gospel, have at it, okay? And if that person don't want to receive the gospel and they pull a gun out to shoot you, you can defend yourself if that should happen. You can be a pistol-packing preacher, and it's legal. He told them to take swords with them, didn't he? He sure did, right? And by the way, how many of you know it's okay to enforce laws? It's okay to support and respect law enforcement, right? It's okay to say, let them arrest people and put them in jail and for a penalty. That's okay for a Christian to say, yeah, I agree with that. And if you don't agree with that, I would take you to Romans, the 13th chapter, where it says that God ordained the governments that be, and they are actually ministers of His use for peace in this world. That's Bible. So, I'll end with some of this. Let's look at some realistic ways that we can let our light shine and that we cannot withhold good from anybody. Law enforcement. Do you ever see how they treat them these days? I wouldn't want to be a cop these days. They spit on them. They mock them. They have their cell phones out filming them all the time. All this stuff. They want to abolish them. All these crazy things. As a Christian, you need to respect law enforcement. Now, is there bad cops? Yes. Is there bad secretaries? Yes. Is there bad priests? Yes. Very bad priests. There's bad in every profession, every single profession. Don't let that bother you, okay? The cops, unless they are bad, deserve our respect. Folks, do you owe any money to anybody? Don't have to raise your hands. If you do, pay it back. If you said, can I have some money? It's just a loan. I'll pay you back. Pay them back. If you signed a document at the bank, it says, I'll pay it. Pay it. Now, I know we all get in trouble. I know we all struggle. But this is where the rubber meets the road, church. This kind of stuff right here. And I'm asking you, to just search your heart a little bit and say, wow, am I actually living this thing or am I just talking about it, right? I think it was Jesus that God said, this people draws near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Folks, let's not just do lip service about this stuff. Let's do the real thing. Would you agree? Right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? Amen. Yeah, I think you guys are receiving this. So what I would say to you is this. I'll close with this, all right? I think I shared this story once before. The Bible says very clearly, all right, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you just say to them, hey, depart in peace and be warmed. The scripture says, you know, how is that even faith? Faith without works is dead. You don't help them when you can. Remember, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. I know I shared this before. Maybe some of you are new here. The Pope, many years ago, by the way, if you don't know it, the Catholic Church is probably the richest Catholic religion in the world. Some people say it's the Mormons, but it's really the Catholics because they're way more spread. They don't keep the records as good as the Mormons. They're all spread out. But anyway, they're first or second richest in the whole world. One day, the Pope was walking in these slums. I think it was in India. And, you know, that's where them kids have them big bellies and, you know, their sunken faces and just terrible. And so he has his Pope mobile, the big entourage and everything. And again, I'm not bashing the Pope. This is just a true story. He walks up to one of the children and he puts his hand on the child's head and says, bless you. And he walks away, does that a couple more times, gets in the Pope mobile and leaves. Now, that's good. That's a good thing, right? But here we have the richest organization probably in the religious world. And as far as we know, there was never any money, you know, to help these poor people or anything in that situation. And so what good is that faith at that moment when you have the means to help them? So if you have means to help others, do it. Here's my last question, I promise. Why does God bless you? I'm quizzing you. All right, I wish I had a prize for you. I don't. I could give you a pen I just took off the back counter. Would that help? He blesses you so you can be a blessing to other people. Folks, don't be like the Dead Sea. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Another question. You can win a pen. Yeah, that's exactly right. Good job. Water comes in, nothing comes out. So you're getting the flow. You're getting it here. You got it in Sunday school. You got it from me. You get it from your pastors. But don't just keep it inside. You got to let it go. You have to let it go, folks. And that also means in works, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray everyone in the sound of my voice that they would take heed to these truths. There's much more that we could have said, but Lord, I think you've got the point across to us. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And finally, that we would not withhold any good thing from anybody when it's in our power of our hand to do it. So convict us lovingly in those areas that we can do better in. And I just pray that all of us would take this message to heart and go out there and let our light shine. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.